This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us here on Radio Stitch for Hospitals.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
Today is the beginning of the Advent season for Christians. The word Advent means the arrival. It's a time of preparation for us, a time to look back first and remember the arrival of Jesus as a baby in Bethlehem, but also to look forward to Jesus' return to earth one day in great glory and splendour as King and Judge over all. The second of these, Christ's return, is our theme today. So let's begin with a song that contains words we'll be hearing a lot of at this time of the year in our Christian churches. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. You may have heard this song before, but not the Godspell version. Here's Robin Mark singing Days of Elijah.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sore, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord.
When I was a young child in Sunday school many moons ago, one special song stood out for me above all the others. I grew to love it and I learned all the words. It was a song full of hope and promise. It told us that the King of all kings was coming and we didn't have long to wait. It went like this. There's a light upon the mountains and the day is at the spring, when our eyes shall see the beauty and the glory of the King. Weary was our heart with waiting, and the night watch seemed so long, but his triumph day is breaking and we hail it with a song. Just thinking of it now reminds me of the time when we as school children from the Addison Potter School in Willington Quay lined up to see the Queen and Prince Philip ride through our town in their limousine. We were so excited standing there with our Union Jacks flying at the ready. The teacher said to us, "It won't be long. She's on her way. She'll be soon here." Here's a different version of the very same hymn, sung by a group of schoolboys who call themselves Libra, a name which was chosen because it means to be set free, as it expresses the flight and the thrill of the boys' harmonies. It's a song called Exultate from their album Peace. It calls all people to rejoice and look forward in great excitement to the coming of the Lord.
There's a light upon the mountains and the day is at the spring, when our eyes shall see the wonder and the glory it will bring. It's the Domine Gloria, it's the Domine Gloria, Seculare, Seculare, Alleluia.
Wasn't that wonderful with soloist there, Ben Phillips? This idea of waiting in hope and excitement for a light to dawn on the world reminds me of a story of a passenger who was travelling east on an overnight flight. He'd been told to keep his eyes open for the spectacular sunrise, so he stayed awake. He kept alert and his eyes searched the dark skies, looking for a glimmer of that dawn breaking. The sliding door of his tiny window was open, so he kept watch, and soon he was rewarded by the first brilliant rays slowly emerging like a ring of fire. He continued to watch in awe as the sun gradually lit up his world in full and dazzling splendour, almost blinding him. Sometime later, other passengers round him began to wake up, and they whispered to one another, "Look, the sun's up." It was there upon them before they realised, because they'd been asleep. Scripture says, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. It will happen sudden and unexpectedly, and we're told to keep watch for him. Here's a song arranged by John Rutter and sung by the Cambridge Singers, a hymn called "Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending." Christians regularly stand up in church services to declare what they believe in. It's called the Creed, and one section of it is when we say all together that one day He, Jesus will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Matthew's Gospel tells us how this will happen here in chapter 24, beginning to read at verse 36. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. On that same theme, let's listen to Jordan Sparks singing, I Wish We'd All Been Ready.
Life was filled with guns and war, and all of us got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. Children died, the days grew cold. A piece of bread could buy a bag of gold. I wish we'd all.
That from that time on, a period known as the last days, the world would experience disasters and earthquakes, famine and plagues. There would be a godless and hedonistic society, disruption of family life, fear of the future and great persecution. And just like birth pains, these happenings would continue to grow worse and more intense until the final day of his coming. The Advent message is clear that we must be at the ready to receive the coming King and not find ourselves caught out unprepared. Matthew compares this arrival of the Son of Man with the days of Noah, where life carried on as normal for those who paid no heed to God. There may have been incredulity, even mockery, as Noah's ark was built on dry land. But Noah acted in obedience and listened to God, and he and his family were saved. The flood did come, and the people perished. So what will happen when Jesus does arrive? Jesus described the last days to his followers in the form of many parables with various images. A fig tree with fruit, a thief in the night, a harvest where good grain is separated from bad, a catch of fish being sorted. He also spoke of a time when all people would be separated into two groups, the sheep and the goats, and there would be judgment. The story is told in the following song called The Parable of the Sheep and Goats from my Kaleidoscope of Characters album. It explains what the king will be looking for in his people when he comes.
When the Son of Man in glory comes and sits upon his throne, he'll gather all the nations in and let his mind be known. For like a shepherd he will make a sheep and goat divide. He'll put his sheep upon his right, the goats his left hand side. He'll say to those upon his right, come all my faithful ones, heirs of the Father, blessed by him, your inheritance has come. I was hungry and you fed me, my dreadful thirst assuaged. You made the stranger welcome, all my troubles you allayed. You clothed me, gave me comfort, when ill gave love so free. And when in prison I was lost, you came to visit me. When you did this to the very least of all my family, you did it not just unto them, you did it unto me. The others he will say, eternal fire will be your lot, now is your judgment day. I was hungry, I was thirsty, you sought a self instead. I was a lonely stranger, but you turned away your head. I needed clothes and I was ill, you did not heed my cries. And when in prison I was lost, you left me there to die. When you ignored the very least of all my family, not only did you not help them, you gave no help to me.
There are those who say this kind of imagery was all to do with then and not about now or the future. They say we really mustn't take such stories literally, that we should look for spiritual meaning within them. But then that takes away from what Jesus and his disciples in the New Testament taught on the subject of his return. Then there are those who go to the other extreme and tick off the many prophecies Jesus made about his return, over 200 of them, like a checklist, and they claim there are very few left now still to be fulfilled. and they preach that Jesus' return is imminent. Both extremes believe, though, that we are warned not to be caught out by living the kind of life which is unacceptable to God. We simply have to be ready and seek God's kingdom first before all else, to live lives which please God. Barriers we keep building in our hearts must come down, barriers of pride and scepticism, lack of love, hardness of heart, or chasing after other gods. If Christ is to enter into our lives, all must be surrendered to him. David Pawson, well-known evangelist on the subject of Jesus' return one day to earth, once said, "I would rather invite you all to be prepared and ready for the return of Jesus and for it not to happen than to preach that it will not be so and for it to catch you unawares." We are told by Jesus that his way wouldn't be an easy path to walk on, that his followers would face tribulation, struggles and persecutions along the way. But he did reassure his followers that they would never face hardship alone. Jesus also said more than once that those who stayed firm to the end would be saved. Let's listen to Red Mountain Music singing, "Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence."
Let all mortal flesh keep silence, and with fear and trembling
Jesus ascended into heaven, angels appeared and told the disciples, "This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." But we shouldn't really try to predict when this return will be, because Jesus told his disciples beforehand, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority." But by Jesus' life, his death on the cross, and by his example, we are given a new perspective on how to live our lives. Jesus called for lives to be transformed and for those lives to impact others. He preached the kingdom of the present moment, which in turn would impact the future of his kingdom on earth for the good, where he would rule in people's hearts. We're going to finish off today with a beautiful prayer song by Matt Redman, one which we can make our own, that God will indeed abide in our hearts and not let us go. And even if we've fallen or we have no energy or strength left, that he will lift us up right now and lead us on. May God bless you all, especially those of you in hospital today, as we end this programme with his song, Abide With Me. And so we say goodbye from myself, Sheila Hamill, and from Andrew Ridgwick, my technician.
Bye, everyone.
Don't forget to join us next week at 7 o'clock in the morning for more Advent readings and songs. Bye for now.
I have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken world. You walked it first, you know our pain, but you sure hope can rise again up from the grave. Abide with me, abide with me. Don't let me fall, and don't let go. Walk with me and never leave. Ever close, God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, before the cross, before the nails, overwhelmed, alone you prayed. Your medicine, our suffering, and bore our shame. Abide with me.